Hey, what's going on, everybody? Alan Kenny, managing editor, CrystalBallRun.com, the Blog UN Network's national college football blog. And we're in the silly season. Coaching carousel is speeding around. I'm going to do that again. And we're in the silly season. The coaching carousel is in full effect. You got names flying around in terms of who's going where, who's getting axed, who's getting a new job. And I want to do a special podcast on this tonight. Later on, I'm going to have Scott Roussel of footballscoop.com on. He's going to explain to us, you know, kind of give us the lay of the land, not only in terms of who, you know, what happened maybe in some of these cases where a guy got fired. What are some of the hot names out there, who to be watching for, and, you know, maybe, you know, fill us in on how he kind of goes about sifting through all the different coaching rumors out there and whatnot. But first of all, I wanted to bring on our good friend Dave Bartu of CFBMatrix.com. He takes the analytical math-based approach, you know, kind of look at all this. He's got a pretty killer formula for predicting games, and also that can be used kind of as a nice analytical tool for evaluating coaching. So I wanted to bring him on to talk about maybe some guys who got axed who he didn't think really deserved it, or some guys who keep sliding by. So let's go ahead. Welcome on, Dave. Dave, how you doing, man?
Oh, dude, I am doing pretty good, but it's just such a downer after, you know, week 13, rivalry week's over. You know, it was basically probably one of the best weekends of college football, and it's all gone. This should be like National Drinking Week or something for college football watchers.
Yeah, it's definitely it always just goes too fast, man. Way too fast. And you know, it's kind of funny. I know that I'm sure that you feel the same way. But when you're writing about this stuff, or you know, doing what you do, kind of slicing all the data up and everything, you kind of look around, you realize you worked the whole season, you know? You didn't have a chance to, like, just enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, you don't really have time to breathe, you know? And especially with the stuff I do on the national level, you look at it, there was nearly 800 games this season for FBS schools. And not only did I pick them in March, but I had to write about them each week.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, it just adds up. And then you watch all these games. You see all these teams that you picked blow leads in the fourth quarter. And, well, it wears on you. It's fun, but whew, it flies by, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. And no doubt about it. So let's talk, though. You know, obviously you've done your anti-coach of the year. I believe this award is named for Charlie Rice. I believe this award is named for Charlie Weiss, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, you know, the anti-coach, the coach effect is really what it's based off of. And all the games that I pick, as a lot of folks know, is everything is just based off talent and schedule. And a byproduct of the talent and schedule predictions is what I call the coach effect. Because outside of talent and schedule, the only thing, and this is the math side of it we won't go into, but the only thing outside of those two factors that I've been able to prove and show have an effect on the game is what I call the coach effect in coaching decisions. So when a team loses a game they're supposed to win, it's a negative coaching effect. When they win a game they're supposed to lose, it's a positive coaching effect. And what this allows me to do is kind of judge each coach on an equal level. So the formula is the same for picking the games. So when a coach wins or loses, it's the same way of evaluating them. I'm sure we could, you know, nitpick it a little bit. But at the end of the year, it paints a really nice picture of guys that did good, did bad. And for a lot of fans out there, it just simply reaffirms numerically, this guy sucked.
Yeah, I'm sure so. So tell us, let's start off with who did well. Who were some of the coaches so far this year who have you know, kind of exceeded expectations, so to speak?
Yeah, and from a coach of the year standpoint, it's not about the total package. These guys are the ones that really do more with less. Uh-huh. You know, so somebody like Stoops, who recruits at a very elite level, he's never going to be at the top coach effect of the year because he's already recruited the players. He's expected to win 9, 10, 11, 12 games. Actually, he's supposed to expected to win 10 or 11, certainly not 9.
Yeah.
But you know, so a lot of these names are guys with a lot less talent. And some of these, you know, the number one this year, and, well, the same as last year, is Bill Snyder. I mean, yeah. Unbelievable job. And this is a guy who recruits at absolutely the bottom of the bucket nationally. I mean, there is nobody this year or probably in this decade that even compares to him in the matrix in terms of what he has done so far with so little talent. But once you get past him, there's a few guys that may surprise some people. Right behind Snyder is you have James Franklin at Vanderbilt. Now, he doesn't have any real signature wins this year. You know, he never beat any of the upper elite guys in the SEC. But this is a guy that kind of recruits at a Kansas, maybe even a little bit better type of level. You know, but he did beat Missouri. He beat Auburn. He beat Ole Miss. He beat Tennessee. Really solid coach here for the second straight year. Really wouldn't surprise me to see him moving on. I don't think he can take Vanderbilt any higher if he has aspirations of proving himself at a much higher level. Right now, the best coaching opening in the country is in his state. So wouldn't surprise me at all to see that guy go there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, a couple of other guys, though. You go down the list, guys that are plus three, plus four games above what was predicted. Out of the Big East, Maroney at Syracuse. He's got nothing to work with, and I know he doesn't play a tough schedule in the Big East, but this is a guy that is four games above expectations. Syracuse has really on a roll right now, and he might attract a lot of interest from some bigger schools. Maybe he can move himself up to a better stepping stone job, you know, like a Kentucky or something like that, because his offense is really high-powered. It's drawing a lot of attention, and it's getting a lot of results on the field.
Yeah, that is one that he's quietly done a really nice job there, you know, this year. They had some nice wins, including that one last weekend over Missouri. So
exactly. That one really shocked me. On the road at Missouri, Pinkel's been just slightly above average. I mean, he had a year that was completely expected of him this year. But for Syracuse to go down to Columbia, that's a long ways to travel on the road, tough environment, and pull out a win. That was probably their biggest win of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah,
there's a few guys out there, you know, your rookie coaches. Everybody's nationally in the matrix. A first-year coach, on average, performs one game less than what their talent and schedule predicts. And so when you see a guy that is performing at or above expectations, he's having a really good year. You know, one of them is right down there in Texas, Sumlin at Texas A&M,
yeah.
Plus two games above expectations. A lot of people are thinking that he's done a lot better job than that, but that was just 4 years of the Shermanator dragging everybody's expectations down in the dirt. You know, this is still a semi-elite recruiter. You know, it's not an elite kind of national championship game run type of team. But he's certainly done great things there. But the number one first-year coach I have is Rich Rodriguez at Arizona.
Yeah.
He's got just squat for talent, probably along the lines of somewhere between Kansas and Kansas State. It's that bad, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got nothing there. Stoops really left the cupboard bare. That was his downfall, in my opinion. He could coach, but he just couldn't recruit these guys. Rich Rod has taken lemons and made some lemonade there. 7-5 is four games above expectations heading into the season. So there's a few guys on the list year to date that are really doing a good job with the talent they have.
Yeah, that's definitely one that didn't get a lot of attention because he's way out there in the desert, but he's certainly had a good year. So let's flip it over, though. Tell me about some of the coaches who were out there who really underperformed. Who are the anti-coaches of the year?
The ones who have or haven't been fired yet.
Yay. All right, let's start with the guys who got fired. Obviously, I'm sure that Chizik, it was just a bomb.
Oh, what a dumpster fire. That guy, it was the worst AQ season since Mack Brown 3 years ago. When Mack Brown pulled his old 5-7 year, mm-hmm. That was an abomination, just like Gene is this year. He is 7 games below expectations, and given the talent these guys have, there is absolutely no reason to keep him around. Along with now, I guess, coming to light are all of these recruiting infractions, and I'm sure if the NCAA thought that Auburn was doing something fishy with Cam and couldn't prove it, they're going to bring the hammer down if they can find any proof about these latest ones. So not only they got rid of a guy who did a crappy job, but it looks like it might not be a very good job for a few years now.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
Yeah, so he's gone. Now, when you go past Gene, the next level is minus 5 games, which is still horrible. If you think about it, there's only a couple of guys that were above plus 4 on the coach of the year. Now you have these minus 5 games, which is just terrible. And there's 3 of them. One of them's already been fired. Jeff Tedford at Cal, mm-hmm. out the door. 1 home win in a stadium that they paid $350 million to build. A decent mid-level recruiter, an awful season. He was at minus 5. Now there's 2 more guys that are at minus 5 as well. One of them just blew the game to Notre Dame last weekend at USC. Did you watch that game?
Yeah, horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
Has there ever, in your recent memory, with a team down 9 with 5 to play, first and goal from the 1, been 4 worse consecutive play calls if he wasn't shaving points than you've ever seen before?
Yeah, that was my first thought. Like, what is Kiffin shaving points or something? Because it none of it made any sense to me at all.
It took 3 minutes to run 4 plays. They didn't get it in. Their strength is, a big quarterback and 2 huge wide receivers. They didn't throw it. They ran right. The spread's 5.5, and I'm just sitting there screaming, throwing everything in my living room at my television.
Yeah.
Awful.
Oh, no, I know. It's terrible.
Awful. I mean, I'd say if it was under normal circumstances with no probation and all these sanctions and everything, I would say fire his butt. But, maybe keep him for another year or two and let actually somebody who can coach rebuild it later on. But the other guy is in Iowa. Farron's posted a minus 5. Now, as a lot of people think this guy's been a good coach for a long time, and this is kind of this whole Uncle Rico idea that they're still living off that 11-year BCS run almost 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is a guy in Farron's that before this year, 4 of his last 5 years have been negative coaching effect. He's been under coaching for 5 straight years. Now this year, this 6th year, is just awful. I mean, they lost home games, they lost road games, they got beat by nobody all year long, minus 5. And to give you a point of reference, last year's anti-coach of the year was Houston Nutt at minus 5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these guys are doing a real bad job. I know Farron's has some golden contract they can't get out of, but people said that about Tedford. Either get out of it now or just consign yourself to having to deal with him forever. So he's been awful. Couple of guys below them, Fedora at North Carolina, pulled the same crap this year as he did at Southern Miss his first year. Bad performance. Beckman at Illinois. Rumblings are he's gone.
Yeah, I think Beckman's a one and done. There's rumors, at least, that he might be a one and done.
Yeah, which, something isn't a surprise to me, and I don't think it's that big of a deal. He's a first-year coach, and one of the patterns that I discovered over the summer is what I call dead man walking. And this is first-year coaches that are minus 3 games coach effect or worse in their first year. And what it is every single head coach that is minus 3 or worse in their first year in the last 8 years never makes it to see a 3rd year.
Really?
So Beckman, dead man walking. Wilson, dead man walking. Edsel, dead man walking. These guys just aren't cutting it. The one guy, Fedora, now he's minus 4. It's his first year. Technically, he's dead man walking too under the original idea of it. I'm just wondering if that applies to these teams that recruit a whole lot better. UNC has a lot better recruiting, a lot better talent than people think. We'll see if he turns it around. If they go 8-4, 7-5 next year, I would agree with the original idea that he's going to be gone and just can't get it, can't cut it. A couple of more guys, though, that really on the edge that had bad years. I mean, Charlie Weiss, -3. Hey, you know, thanks, Charlie. You know, you still suck. It doesn't matter where you go. You do not have a schematic advantage. One name that may surprise people because they've been so enamored with it for so long is Skip Holtz at South Florida.
I'm not surprised. That team just, they don't have it.
Look, this guy is one of the worst home coaches in the country. He is an upset waiting to happen. In fact, this whole year got started off on a great note in week one. I don't know if you recall when I was screaming, take Rutgers 3-1 dogs over South Florida because Holt stinks and they have a talent advantage.
And
I mean, they lost to Ball State. They lost to Temple. This guy's terrible. Their recruiting's flat. I say get rid of him. You know, Mac Brown's on that list too, but Jesus, they could have fired him any of the last 3 years. I mean, he is the prototypical five-star talent, one-star coach, him and Kiffin. Personally, if I'm the Lost Oz, I'd get rid of Mac Brown, hire Gary Patterson, whatever he wants. Texas is in the playoffs every other year with him.
Golly, yeah, Patterson is good, man. Real good.
I mean, you got to admit, I know you're a Sooner fan and all that stuff, but, you know, 10,000 foot, if they announce tomorrow that Gary Patterson just signed a, you know, $30 million 10-year contract with Texas, they'd have to scare you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would be, I'd be terrified. So, you know, I want to talk about some of these guys. You know, obviously you mentioned a few of these guys already gotten fired, but who are some of the coaches? For example, John Embry, 2 years, obviously terrible record. I mean, was this a case where the numbers say probably a guy who needed to go?
Yeah, he was average last year. He was -2 games this year. It wasn't going anywhere. You know, but I guess from a Colorado standpoint is what do they expect? I mean, they can't recruit. They don't. Their facilities are old and decrepit. They're not sinking any money into infrastructure, which is what you need to recruit, you know. Yeah. Unless you have a historic name and or great facilities, you're not going to recruit. People, if you think that going to a BCS bowl game or winning football games is going to help your recruiting, it does not work that way. Ask Boise, ask Hawaii, ask all these teams that win a lot of football games. Their recruiting goes nowhere. You either have the facilities and the history or you don't. So Embry, you know something, whoever they replace them with, whatever, they're still the worst team in the Pac-12. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm kind of on that, you know. John L. Smith, we knew this was coming. I didn't even have the numbers said take 6-6 or worse. I didn't even have the guts to go that far. But, you know, basically he is what we thought he was. He was a -2 coach game effect at Arkansas, which is almost exactly what he was at Michigan State. He's just not a good coach. But the Arkansas job is just not a good position. I know they're throwing these names out here. They're saying Patterson and Peterson and, you know, this, that, and the other.
Stoops.
And, you know, something, I could say I like Kate Upton, but it doesn't mean she's interested in me. I don't know why any of these guys would want that job. It's a dead-end job. They're the fifth best recruiter in their division. It's a go-nowhere position. Their recruiting is range-bound between 30 and 20. Until they improve their facilities, they're not going to get that much better. The fans expect what Petrino did, which was magic. It's just not a good job, in my opinion.
And I think that's the thing that people don't realize. I mean, if you want to coach for the money, you know, there are going to be guys out there who I'm sure will take it, you know, but I mean, you really need a sorcerer. You, like you mentioned, like a Petrino, who I think has got to be one of the 3, 4, 5 best coaches, you know, in the game today.
Easily. Okay, I'm gonna throw my crazy matrix dart right now, okay? Arkansas, they're going to have the money. I don't think they're going to get the big name because I think it's a dead-end job. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Who they're going to hire is somebody with name recognition that they're going to pay too much for, that has SEC ties, that really can't coach even though people think they can because he's coming off of a decent year.
Yeah.
Tuberville.
Yeah, that's definitely one name that's out there. Yeah.
Because he's had his third straight year of underperformance. In my opinion, it's a guy that needs to go. They need to find somebody better. They're more talented and should be better than 7-5 or worse every year. You know, Tuberville has the name. People think he's doing good this year because he did so bad the previous years. And it's a name they can overpay for with the SEC ties. It makes sense to me, and it's a good time for him to get the heck out before they get rid of him.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, What about a guy like at Purdue? I mean, Danny Hope seems like that's such – I mean, I believe they're going to a bowl for the second year in a row. I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
Well, so far, everybody that's been fired in AQ schools this year, all but one of them are net negative coaches, game effect coaches this year. The one guy that was fired that is a positive this year was Hope. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was really surprised at that, Alan, because, you know, and I couldn't figure out why. And so I started reading. I did a little bit of reading just to try to figure out where these people, you know, were getting these delusions of grandeur. And I found out that at the beginning of the year, Herb Street, and I know people want to say, well, this didn't affect anything. BS. Big time talking heads that make predictions, people pay attention to that stuff. Herb Street at the beginning of the year said he thought Purdue should win that division, that they had a lot of talent, that they should be there. And I think it got into their heads that this team was better than they should be. But when you look at their recruiting, Purdue recruits on a Kansas level. And we know how crappy Kansas is. Mm-hmm. You know, the expectations were high. They were unrealistic. And I know that Ohio State and Penn State were both on sanctions and both weren't eligible, but this still was a weak, weak team, even in a bad conference. They expected too much. He was a plus one coach. He actually exceeded his talent for schedule expectations that I had. I'm really surprised they at least didn't give him a third year to try to improve recruiting and improve the record.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That was just one that, I mean, some of these just don't make sense, but that was one that stuck out to me. But let's switch gears real quick. We've been having you on all season. You've been giving us your upset picks. Give us a couple for this weekend if you see any out there.
You know, it's slim pickings this weekend. There's not a lot of games, and we know that Vegas has real sharp pencils at this time of year.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to stick with the picks that the Matrix made back in March that go against the grain. One of them is Texas over Kansas State. This seems like an oxymoron pick because you have one of the worst game coaches in the country versus probably the best game coach in the country. But still, Texas's talent is huge. And Kansas State just had their dreams crushed 2 weekends ago. I mean, they've had 2 weekends to think, you know something, if we would have just shown up against Baylor, you know, all we had to do is beat Texas, and we'd be in the national title. And now, if they lose this game, you know, they're not even looking at a BCS bowl. So, you know, I think they're going to be down. I'm not sure what their motivation is going to be, how clear it's going to be. So I like Texas, maybe not to win because I hate to bet anything on Mac Brown. I think it's just, you might as well just piss your money away. Mm-hmm. But at least let's see if Texas can cover this one. The other one to look at is another anti-coach of the year nominee with Holtz. They're hosting Pittsburgh. This is a game where I see both teams having pretty equal talent. It's at home, but the problem with at home with South Florida is they're not very good at home, but Pitt, of a bunch of teams, you want to talk about Jekyll and Hyde. You know, let's play Notre Dame tough. In fact, they should have beat Notre Dame. They just whipped the crap out of Rutgers, but then they go on the road and get beat by, you know, who knows what. So, but let's stick with upsetting Vegas. Texas wins, South Florida wins to close out week 14 in the college football season.
All right, you heard it there first, folks. Well, again, Dave, as always, I appreciate it. We'll do something for sure pre-bowl season to help us, you know, kind of go out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah, we'll have to do something to ease our way through now the next 9 months of darkness.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. All right, man. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Love being on with you all season and look forward to doing it again, man.
All right, folks. That's Dave Bartu. He's with CFBMatrix.com. Make sure to go over there and check out his site. Always some great, great information on there. But I want to go ahead now. Switch gears and get the guy on who is, you know, on top of all the different coaching searches. He runs footballscoop.com. That's Scott Roussel. Scott, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm excited to be on with you. It's good talking.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I want to talk about, obviously, I'm sure this is just a crazy, hectic time. What are some of the stuff you guys are working on? I mean, besides, you know, obviously kind of verifying different, you know, sources and whatnot on some of the tidbits you hear.
Yeah, sure. So Footballscoop.com is a website, been around since 1999, and you know, our goal with it is to deliver to coaches accurate and timely information, primarily about coaching jobs. And literally, you know, 365 days a year, we're talking to coaches about what's going on in the profession. And so, you know, this time of year, it's a very challenging time for coaches and their families. Coaches are getting let go, and you know, instability is a horrible thing, especially in relationship. You know, it deals with your kids, so it's very challenging for coaches. So, you know, it's a period where you got to be very respectful of what this actually means. A coach getting fired, you know, that impacts not just head coach and his family, but all of the assistants, their staffs, their families. It's it's a challenging time. So you know, try to be very respectful of real life here. You know, we're keeping up with every coaching job in the country. College, we actually have to do some high school stuff too, and of course we do NFL as well, but this time of year it's college is the focus. We're doing that, but like you mentioned, you know, we got some other stuff going on as well. We're actually doing our fifth year of our Coaches of the Year Awards, and we do a little bit of a different set of Coach of the Year Awards. You know, there's a lot of different Head Coach of the Year Awards. You hear about them all the time. There's probably five or six different national Head Coach of the Year. I decided back in 2008 that we should do something to give some assistance some recognition. So we created Position Coaches of the Year. So we do an offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, special teams coordinator. We do all the position coaches, and then we do a strength coach, a director of operations, and we do coordinators at the FCS, D2 and D3 level as well. So we're right in the middle of announcing all the finalists for all of those. Typically have four or five finalists for each award, and then starting next week, we'll start to announce the winners. So, yeah, it's a very active time for us. We had almost 1,000 nominations. The way we do our coaches' awards, yeah, coaches have to nominate other coaches in order for somebody to win. So you have to have been nominated by your peers. And then me and my staff, we basically sort through all the nominations and come up with who we feel the right four or five finalists are from those nominated. And then we present them on the website, and basically I call all of the former winners. We have four former winners for each award, and I call them and say, hey, these are the finalists for this year. You know, check out the write-ups, you know, talk to people about these guys, come back and tell me who the best coach is. You know, it's not necessarily about on-the-field performance, you know, in this game or anything. It's who's the best coach, you know, who did a great job this year as a coach. And so that's what we're doing. And it's a lot of phone calls, like you mentioned. You know, we're very active this time of year.
Yeah, I can only imagine, you know, and some of those guys, I'm sure, who are up for awards might be looking to, you know, maybe move on to another job and whatnot. And I wanted to talk with you first before we get into all the different movement, though, about, you know, to a degree, kind of your process here, because, you know, these coaching searches, obviously rumors fly nonstop when it comes to this kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, these can kind of be just you know, kind of playgrounds for agents to kind of use the rumor mill to get their guys raises or maybe, you know, use some leverage and whatnot. I mean, how hard is it for you to kind of sort through all that, the smoke, and figure out where the fire is? And, you know, can you give us any kind of insight into your, you know, kind of verification or quality control process?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so I've owned Football Scoop for almost 5 years now, and the thing has evolved tremendously since when we bought it. My goal is accurate and timely. I'm not looking to break the news. You'll virtually never see us speculating, oh, well, this guy grew up in a city, so he might be, you know, a candidate for a job that's halfway across the country from where he's been the last 20 years. You know, we don't do that. You know, we just try to provide coaches with accurate information. And, you know, basically what happens, almost all of our tips get sent in from a coach. You know, they say, hey, I'm just letting you know, a guy in our staff is interviewing here, or we're going to be interviewing that guy, or my buddy who's over on this staff, he's interviewing for this job. In most cases, we call the guy directly, or we call somebody on that staff and say, hey, look, this is what we're told. You know, is that happening? In some cases, there's a reason why that shouldn't be made public. In some cases, they're like, yeah, you can put that out there. That's absolutely happening, and that's fine. So in almost all cases, we're calling somebody and verifying this stuff. And, yeah, there's, like you said, there are a lot of agents that try to, you know, just try and present the story in different lights. And while we do talk to agents all the time, we wouldn't ever be swayed by an agent. You know, an agent wants to, you know, that's just not something that we do. And it's actually been a little bit of an issue for us in the past. You know, my brother and I did this together for a long time. He went a different way and is doing his own thing. And he's, you know, working with an agent, and we just, that's not something we do. I thoroughly enjoy our business. I hear from, 20 or 30 coaches a day. Man, I just love your website. I had a SEC defensive coordinator call me yesterday on his way to the airport and say, hey, just tell me what's going on. You know, what's on the scoop? I can't check it on the phone. Tell me what's happening in the real world. And, you know, we just talked about 20 different jobs for the next 30 minutes. It's fascinating how much Football Scoop has evolved in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's definitely a really great kind of just hub for information out there. So I want to ask you, you know, obviously it was kind of a black Sunday, you know, in the coaching profession. It seems to happen a lot. Is there one coaching change out there, though, that came down that just really kind of, you know, sent ripples through the community or one that was just a really big surprise?
You know, I don't know if any of them thus far would really be termed a big surprise. I guess NC State, some people, you know, thought Tom's done a nice job. I think everybody thought Tom's done a nice job there. It's just, has he done nice enough? I don't know if that one sends ripples through the profession, in all honesty. You know, if Auburn or Tennessee or Cal, you know, one of those, Arkansas, you know, if they were to take another sitting head coach, that could cause a lot of ripples, but, you know, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, you know, I think that one, obviously, that kind of, I wouldn't say caught people off guard, but did seem a little surprising was the John Embry termination.
Yeah, it caught people off guard, you know, with regards to it's only his second year. It's a difficult situation. I know those guys poured their heart into it. you know, the administration made a decision. It you can argue that one all day long. They didn't get it done on the field as well as they'd like to have. The staff, you know, they'll tell you that in a heartbeat. They felt that, you know, with their recruits coming in, the program was going to be on the rise. The administration, you know, obviously decided that, you know, they now was the time to make a change. So it's, you know, it's just really hard. And, you know, every time I start to say, you know, I feel bad about these guys getting let go, you know, somebody else reminds me, they got let go, but they'll find other jobs, and this creates new opportunities for new guys. So I do kind of like to see the positive there. But, yeah, that's 2 years. That's fairly shocking. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, Ellis Johnson at Southern Miss. You know, well, he and this staff get bought out. And in all honesty, I'm not sure that decision's been made. And I'm not positive it happens. But, you know, they didn't win a game, and that presents a problem for an administration. You know, if they believe that's going to continue to happen, which obviously I don't think anybody thinks that, but if they think that's going to continue to happen, you know, that's a decision they'd have to make.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, you mentioned NC State, and one of the word flying around the Twitter sphere last night was Mike Leach potentially being a candidate there, or having had some, you know, contact, be it through intermediaries or whatnot, with NC State. Can you tell us, for the record, was Mike Leach really a candidate there?
Oh, you know, I think at the beginning of a search, I think it's extremely standard for them to reach for the stars, and they aim high and they just put feelers out, typically through a search firm or through you know, third party representatives. That doesn't in any way mean someone's a candidate, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, but, there was some type of contact.
They talk to people all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Mike made it very clear to me that, you know, regardless of what happened, Mike is very happy at Washington State. I think that was a great hire for Washington State. Mike's not going anywhere. He's very, very happy. People call Mike all the time for various reasons, you know, for his input and things like that. I think Mike's very happy and is going to do very well at Washington State.
All right. Auburn. Any idea how long ago the decision was actually made on Chizik?
Oh, I really don't know.
yeah.
You know, I'm one of those people who, you know, call me potentially naive, but I believe people, you know, I believe people tell the truth generally, and live my life that way. I don't have any further insight other than what Jacobs and university president said.
Yeah. Now, how much interest is there going to be in that job just based on what you're hearing? I mean, you know, there are a lot of things kind of swirling around that program at the moment. And, you know, this is a guy who 2 years ago won a national championship. You know, are you hearing a lot of buzz about it or?
Absolutely. That's one of the, you know, maybe 20 programs that year in, year out should have the opportunity to win a national championship. Yeah, there's others, but, you know, there's 20 or so programs that just they should have that opportunity based on their recruiting base. And all of the, you know, all of the existing, you know, attributes of the program, they should be able to win a national championship. And that's extremely appealing to a lot of coaches and their egos. I don't think Auburn will have any lack of quality candidates.
Have you heard any names in particular associated with the job yet?
We really don't speculate on that stuff. I really, okay, in all honesty, haven't heard, you know, anything serious. Yeah, there's people that are interested in this and that and the other, but I mean, a lot of guys are interested in a lot of jobs, but yeah, doesn't mean they want to leave. There's, you know, if they got the call, they'd take the call and have the conversation, but, you know, we're real early in that process. I don't have any tremendous insight into it right now.
Okay, I mentioned John Embry earlier, Colorado. I was in and out watching that press conference, but it sounds like it was just a disaster today. Tell me that they made this move with at least having a candidate in mind.
I absolutely would agree with you. And, you know, we've heard some names, but I don't know that they're very far down that process. Bone said that he hasn't really explored much yet. I don't know that they're that far down the process, but yeah, I would think they'd have to have a couple of candidates in mind to make that decision. Cause that's a game changer for a university. You know, it's a major financial commitment to change out an entire staff. I would hope so as well.
Yeah. They've got somebody pretty much locked up, but I don't know.
I too was on and off of that press conference and, you know, Embry, you know, he endeared himself to the coaching community. I think he obviously, you know, he gave it his all. He loves that place, wishes he had more time. Obviously there's, you know, a sour taste left in his mouth, mm-hmm, about how things played out. I didn't listen to the entire portion the athletic director held, but wow, I saw a lot of the comments from a lot of national sports writers, and they said that just didn't come off very well for him or for the University of Colorado.
Yeah. The whole thing was just kind of bizarre. So can you tell us, are you hearing anything on Arkansas?
We hear a lot of things on Arkansas.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, we really do. So, you know, I saw somebody had a report last night. Jeff met with the players. Jeff Long met with the players late last night and said, you know, his timeline is 10 to 14 days from now. To me, that's, you know, he's waiting for this last round of games so he can get in his full sets of interviews. I expect a lot of those to take place in New York next week. You know, I think Jeff Long knows who his two or three guys that he's always wanted for this job are. He's had a very long time to analyze that. He's got those two or three guys he now just wants to sit down with and just look them in the eye and get that right feel for. And I think once he does that, it might be his first interview, his second interview, his third interview. Once he has that, you know, that feel in his heart, he's going to say, this is my guy. And then it'll happen very, very fast.
Any names?
No, again,
yeah, no worries,
you know, I don't want to speculate too much. You know, it's stuff that we put on the website already, you know.
Okay. How about, here's one, Gary Patterson.
Yeah, Gary Patterson came out publicly and to, you know, some people that I know real well, and said it just doesn't have interest in that job. I'll say it this way. Says he's extremely happy at TCU and he's not looking for another job. You know, again, I trust people. When he says that, I trust him. You know, through the community, you know, it came back to us that there's interest in talking with Bo Pelini. And then, you know, a lot of people have kind of explained to us why that is. Do I think that's real? Yes. do I know that Bo will get the job? No, absolutely not. I think there's an interest in speaking with him. Yeah. And, you know, both those guys play this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, okay, Tennessee. Is the John Gruden stuff real?
Oh, I absolutely am told it is. I'm told that they have had significant discussions with him. I don't know where they stand. You know, what I was told, a couple interesting numbers. You know, I was told that Gruden makes $4 million a year from ESPN, which is just mind-boggling.
You give me $4 million a year to go on TV and do Monday Night Football, man, I'm never leaving that job, ever.
Seriously, I'm with you. A lot of people are with you. But, you know, you and I aren't, you know, guys that coached for, you know, the greater portion of our lives, and just, you know, that might be his greatest passion in life.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I hear you. $4 million bucks is awfully hard to walk away from. So I hear he makes $4 million a year. I hear he has a $5 million bonus that comes due if he's there at the end of next year. That would be, you know, pretty hard to walk away from. But, yeah, again, I've been told numbers, you know, that, you know, he said it would have to be something like this for me to consider it. And that number, you know, for him and all of his staff was something like $9 million a year, which is an awfully big number.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that stands. I believe – if that's their guy they want, they got to go after him as hard as they can until, you know, it just isn't there. So, you know, I don't know if they've, you know, stepped past that or not yet.
Yeah, the other name, obviously, you know, I'm an Oklahoma fan. I actually had some Oklahoma State fans reach out to me wanting me to ask about Mike Gundy. I know Tennessee is one place that he's been associated with.
You know, I think Mike is I think Mike's at Oklahoma State for a very long time. I reached out to him when, you know, that rumor broke, and, you know, the word back was very, very happy here and not listening to anybody, not seeking anything, not listening. So I don't see Mike leaving Oklahoma State for a very long time.
You know, I didn't either, but it's just funny that it kind of came out like that way, because I can't imagine Boone Pickens, if he wants him there, he's going to let that happen. So,
no.
Okay. California.
Kind of an interesting place.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You know, Jeff Tedford's a great guy. And a lot of people were very surprised to see them actually make the move after Sandy Barber came out, you know, less than 3 months ago and said he's an icon. Anybody who would consider getting rid of him, you know, would be a fool. You know, there's within the coaching community, the feedback I hear is, you know, there's questions about going to work at Cal. So there's some minor hesitancy there. Now, with that said, I've had a lot of head coaches say to me, that's a great recruiting base, great place to live, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had all the upgrades to the stadium and the football operations. You know, I took a tour out there 3 or 4 months ago with Tedford and his staff. So they showed me a place. It's very nice. It's tremendously better than what they had in the past. It's still not upper echelon Pac-12. I mean, they just finished it, and it's not upper echelon Pac-12. It's nice, but it's not as nice as, you know, Oregon, SC, probably what Arizona's going to have when Arizona's done, certainly not what Washington's going to have when they're done. So, you know, it's okay. But that's not going to stop anybody. If somebody wants a Cal job, they're not going to be swayed by, the facilities aren't the best in the country. That's not going to be a problem. There's interest. There's great interest. You know, I was told weeks ago that Steelers had been put out to Troy Calhoun see if they made a move, if he'd be interested. I don't know if he is or not, but, you know, I was told that happened a couple weeks back. We'll see. You know, I think there's a lot of interest in that job.
I wonder what kind of recommendation Dave Christensen would give Troy Calhoun.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll move on. Okay. Oh, I got two names that I wanted to know if you're hearing anything about. These are guys that still have their jobs, but obviously there's a ton of speculation. Number one, Lane Kiffin.
You know, I think Lane's safe there. I think, and Pat Hayden said it. I think Pat Hayden's, you know, a man of his word, and he's not going to change that. I was shocked at how poorly or how much their season unraveled. I know Lane is incredibly disappointed. I went out there and visited with him for a day, you know, again, back in April. And, the facilities improvements, the money that's been poured into the program, they have every asset they need now to win national championships there. They just need to go do it. And he recognizes that. I think he feels the pressure now. You know, Barkley will be moving on. You know, he's got to mold that team into his, which, you know, it is already, but he's got to continue to do that. And he'll feel pressure going forward. I think he's very comfortable in his shoes. You know, he's confident they will rebuild and rebound. And I think they will as well. I was shocked at some of their losses. I don't think that will continue in the future.
All right. Mac Brown.
You know, Mac and the Lost Athletic Director are very close. I don't see the Lost forcing Mac out. You know, Mac's going to do things on his own terms, I think. And you know, they need to do something different. You know, what they're doing is not producing what are regarded as acceptable, you know, conditions in Texas. You know, they're not doing what Texas believes Texas should be doing as a program. You know, I don't know what that needs to be, but I'm sure Mac has a plan. I'm sure he'll, you know, get after that following this game this weekend.
Yeah, that's just one where that's such a huge domino when that one does eventually fall. However, you know, Mac decides to go out. That, you know, talk about ripples. Like I said earlier, man, that will
be enormous. Yep.
Yeah, that will move the market. Okay, I got last one for you. How real is Chip Kelly's interest in the NFL?
You know, I think Chip is an incredibly smart person. Had the opportunity to visit with Chip for quite a while, again, recently, and went out to a couple, well, went to one of their games this season. Chip is a guy that a lot of NFL teams covet. So, you know, there'll be a lot of phone calls to Chip. Should he listen to him? Sure he should. And I'll tell you, I think Chip Kelly has one of the absolute preeminent jobs in college football. Oregon is just an incredible place, incredible program.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have everything at their disposal. And when I say everything, I mean everything. They have one of the nicest facilities I've ever seen, and they're building a brand new 10 times nicer facility. So, I mean, he's got an incredible job. So for him to move on, it's got to be a great, great opportunity for the rest of his life type thing, you know, where he's calling every shot. Could that happen? Absolutely, that could happen. I mean, the guy's obviously a brilliant head coach. So, you know, could it happen? It just depends on if he has the right connection with the right, you know, if he feels the right connection with, you know, the opportunities that are presented. We'll see. I absolutely expect people to call him.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen. Well, Scott, really appreciate it. Obviously, it's a busy, busy time. Again, the site, folks, is footballscoop.com. And Scott, I can't thank you enough, man, for coming on and giving us this update.
That's my pleasure. Y'all call anytime.
All right. And for crystalballrun.com, I'm Alan Kenny. Thanks for joining us.